proceed to the second case of the day, Marin Garcia versus Holder.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This petition for review was filed because it is imperative that this Honorable Court review the Board's interpretation of the cancellation of removal statute under Section 240A-B1D of the Immigration and Nationality Act, since we believe that the Board's interpretation and application of the statute in Monreal, Resinas, and Andazola is unconstitutional. At first glimpse, it might appear that we are asking this Court to review a discretionary, non-reviewable matter. However, in our brief and in our briefs, we have in great detail presented our questions of law and constitutional concerns sufficiently enough to have raised a colorable claim of a due process violation. In the instant matter, the constitutional concern arises on the interpretation by the Board of Immigration Appeals of subsection D of the cancellation of removal statute regarding whether the alien establishes that removal would result in exceptional and extremely unusual hardship to the alien spouse, parent, or child who is a citizen of the United States or an alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence. Under 8 U.S.C. Section 1252A2D, this Court has jurisdiction to review constitutional claims or questions of law. In order to understand our argument, the following has to be kept in mind. We are dealing with a divisible statute that groups aliens and citizens under the same section. And there is a dispute regarding the interpretation and application of the cancellation of removal statute. The pure legal questions raised in this petition for review are whether the citizen children that have an undocumented parent seeking the relief of cancellation of removal constitute a discrete and insular minority, and whether considering that hardship cannot be measured in a vacuum as it pertains to determining hardship to the United States citizen children under the cancellation of removal statute, against whom do we compare them in the analysis? Do we compare them to other United States citizen children in the United States population at large? Or, as the Board of Immigration Appeals has applied the statute in Monreal, Andazola, and Resinas, do we compare them in a segregated manner so that we only compare them to other citizen children with undocumented parents seeking the relief of cancellation of removal? Or, alternatively, also, as the Board has done in these three precedent decisions, do we compare them to aliens facing removal?
Well, usually you make these comparisons to people who are similarly situated.
We would argue that similarly situated under the 14th Amendment would dictate that similarly situated would be in their immigration status. Since aliens, Congress has plenary power to legislate over aliens. And they can legislate in a manner toward aliens that would be unacceptable if applied to citizens, because citizens are protected by the Constitution under the Equal Protection and Due Process Clauses of the Constitution. The constitutional concern that arises in the interpretation and application of the cancellation of removal statute as it pertains to determining hardship to United States citizen children of the applicant for relief of cancellation of removal is that the formula created by the Board of Immigration Appeals is so fundamentally unfair that it is difficult to satisfy the standard. It almost makes it to the level of being unconscionable.
Well, does the Board ever find extreme hardship for
but in cases
comparing them to other children of illegal aliens?
They find exceptional and extremely unusual hardship, but since they are comparing in a very segregated manner, only between, out of the total citizen population under the age of 18 in the United States, only approximately 6% are citizen children of with either one or both undocumented parents. And taking that figure a step further, that statistic a step further, even a smaller percentage of these citizen children, of this 6% citizen children, even a smaller percentage actually have a parent that qualifies to seek the relief of cancellation of removal under Section 240A(b)(1)(d) of the Act. And this is the reason why we are arguing that we are dealing with a discrete and insular minority, because they are a discrete and insular minority because they share immutable characteristics such as that are related to race, alienage, and national origin. And also, these citizen children cannot protect their interests because since they are under the age of 18, they cannot vote. And when we are looking at the population demographics, again, we are talking about a very small percentage of the total population under the citizen population under the age of 18 in the United States. So our constitutional concerns are that our first constitutional claim presented in this petition for review is whether the interpretation by the board of the cancellation of removal statute is causing the segregation of the citizen children of aliens that are seeking the relief of cancellation of removal, and that these citizen children are not allowed to leave their small statistical pool in order to be compared with the citizen children population at large for purposes of analyzing exceptional and extremely unusual hardship to them should their parent be forced to leave the United States, and whether this segregated formula established by the board through Monreal, Andazola, and Resinas is unfairly disadvantaging these citizen children so that more likely than not they will be unable to satisfy the exceptional and extremely unusual hardship standard, thereby causing a deprivation of life, liberty, and property without due process of law, and an interference with their fundamental right to vote. In Plyler versus Doe, in his concurring opinion, Justice Blackmun acknowledged that in a sense, denial of an education is the analog of denial to the right to vote. And the other constitutional claim presented in this petition for review is whether there is an equal protection violation under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution when citizen children are compared to aliens in making the exceptional and extremely unusual hardship determination, as is being done by the board in matter of Monreal, Andazola, and Resinas. A close review of these three precedent decisions will reveal that in none of these decisions were the citizen children of the aliens seeking the relief of cancellation of removal under Section 248B1D of the Act ever compared, were they ever compared to how would any citizen child suffer if that child was forced to abandon the United States.
You understand you're into your rebuttal time, don't you?
Okay. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
So, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pina. Ms. McKay.
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. The issue in this case is Mr. Marin's rights, his interest in not being removed, not his children's rights. This Court and every other one to have considered the question, including the Supreme Court, have held that a United States citizen child's constitutional rights are not implicated by the removal of their parent, even when a de facto removal of the child would also occur.
You agree that this guy looks like a pretty sympathetic case. He's been here 20 years, three children, a couple of them are sick, no criminal record, owns a house, has a job. Seems like a pretty sympathetic case to me, too.
Well, certainly, Your Honor, and I think a lot of these cases are sympathetic. That's the nature of cancellation of removal cases. But those sympathies, and even though it's troublesome that there may be a tangential and unfortunate impact to these United States citizen children, that alone isn't enough to create some cognizable interest on their part. So I think Congress, in the legislative history of the cancellation statute, Congress clearly intended that the cancellation standard was going to be higher than the former extreme hardship suspension of deportation standard. In fact, in the statute, they specifically capped cancellation grants at $4,000 per year, They intended for this to be a limited form of relief. They did not, and this is clear in matter of Monreal, they specifically rejected the notion that the standard had to be unconscionable.
Now, I understand that this has to be some sort of constitutional issue. Otherwise, it's a discretionary decision, not subject to appellate review. What about the argument that maybe the pool should be expanded and should compare the impact on these American children to all American children?
Well, and again, Your Honor, as a threshold, no matter how you take this argument apart and put it back together, it still fundamentally relates back to the constitutional interests of the children, and they don't have that constitutional right. However, your review in this case of over an immigration matter under Fiala versus Bell is relaxed scrutiny. Whether an immigration provision is constitutional depends only on the existence of a facially legitimate and bona fide reason. There are, as argued in our brief, any number of reasons that are rational and rationally related to the way that Congress intended the cancellation statute to work, the way the board has formulated the cumulative hardship analysis, and Mr. Marin hasn't really even attempted to show that there's no conceivable rational basis for the way that Congress has chosen to draw this line. So could the line be drawn differently? Certainly. It certainly could. But that's a question for Congress. That's not a question for this court. And quickly, if I could just...
What else does immigration ever exercise some kind of discretion in cases like this and look at somebody like this who's been here as long as he has and say, this just isn't worth it. We've got so many other ones to worry about. Let's not worry about this one. Do they do that?
Are you speaking of ICE?
Yes.
Of the actual enforcement of the order or yeah. of beginning the process?
Well, even begin any step along the way. Does somebody say, hey, hold it. We got a lot worse people to deal with than what appears to be this fellow here.
They certainly do, and ICE has its own enforcement priorities, and those are documented, and I think that removal of criminal aliens certainly takes precedence. Unfortunately, ICE is an enforcement agency, and they're bound by the words that Congress has given them, and Congress intends for them to enforce the law and gets upset when they don't enforce the law. So there is prosecutorial discretion.
I'm going to be driving back to Milwaukee later today, and probably like everybody else on the Illinois toll road, I'll be going a little faster than the speed limit, and they can't stop everybody, and hope they're not going to stop me. But, I mean, there's always some discretion in law enforcement.
There is discretion, and I think the answer in this case is to seek that discretion. Mr. Marin could certainly seek that discretion from ICE. At the conclusion of the petition for review, he could ask for deferred action on the removal order. He could ask for an administrative stay of the removal order, and that would be within the discretion of ICE and the field office director who's in charge of actually removing the aliens.
Well, I hope if he ever asks for that, they'll have a copy of this oral argument and the questions I've asked, because I don't think this is particularly fair. Not that you might not win, but I don't. Just doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth.
Well, and Your Honor, to be frank with you, a lot of these immigration cases don't leave a very good taste in anyone's mouth. And again, that's just unfortunately the way the law is right now. And I will certainly, I certainly understand your concerns, and I will take them back to my client agencies and let them know. But beyond that, there's not much that I can do to sort of rectify the unfairness that you're talking about. And unless the court has further questions about the particulars of the constitutional arguments raised, I would simply urge you to dismiss the petition for review for the reasons stated in our brief. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McKay. Ms. Bina?
In this petition for review, we are not arguing Congress's plenary authority to legislate over aliens. Rather, through third-party standing, Marin is arguing for the protection of the constitutional rights of his citizen children. We're not saying that a citizen child with the rights, the constitutional rights of a citizen child will be violated if a parent is deported. Not at all. We are talking about a very specific section of the law. Like I indicated before, considering that out of the 6% total population, citizen population under the age of 18 in the United States, even a smaller percentage within that population actually are children that have parents that even qualify for the relief of cancellation of removal. So we're basically arguing that when the comparison be conducted, that it be conducted in a constitutionally permissible manner. The doctrine of the due process clauses of the 5th and the 14th Amendments to the Constitution require legislation to be fair and reasonable in content as well as in application. Such may be broadly defined as a constitutional guarantee that no person shall be arbitrarily deprived of his life, liberty, or property. And in essence, substantive due process calls for protection from arbitrary and unreasonable action, and the distinction that is being made between citizen children of undocumented parents and citizen children of documented parents in Monreal, Andasola, and Resinas is arbitrary. It's unfairly disadvantaging this discrete and insular minority consisting of citizen children of undocumented parents seeking the relief of cancellation of removal, and we're asking this honorable court to make use of its authority under 8 U.S.C. 1252A2D and pierce that discriminatory formula so that justice is done to these citizen children.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McKay. The case is taken under advisement.